Welcome to Alaska's Native Voice. I'm Antonia Gonzalez, live from the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the Native Youth Olympic Games. And we are talking with NYO coaches, athletes, spectators. And first, I have here Jill Freitas, KNBA news producer, and she's going to give us a little update about the games. Hi, Jill.
Good morning. So we are on the third and final day. It is like down to the wire right now. If you are here or if you're listening right now, they are doing the Inuit stick pull, and I'll talk a little bit more about that right now. So far, with the events, we've had the toe kick, wrist carry, Alaskan high kick, scissor broad jump. That one was the Dene stick pull. Inuit stick pull was the one that took place yesterday. The one hand reach, 2 foot high kick, and for some of these events, we even had a record breaker with the one-hand reach for the boys. Is a Natalie Foman from Unalaska with 70 inches, 2 misses. So congratulations. I won't go into too much information about the winners. You could go on to nylgames.com to get that information. But that's what we've been having today. We also have the seal hop, which is a fan favorite, as well as the 1 foot high kicks, which is sort of like, in my opinion, the creme de la creme of NYO. A lot of people flock to check out. So I'm really excited about today. More people are here. It's Saturday. People don't have work, so it's pretty full in here.
And what, Jill, can you talk a little bit about maybe a highlight that you saw yesterday from one of the athletes?
I'm going to have to say, let's see here. I know that we interviewed Abigail Semikin, and she actually won first place on Thursday, the first day. And she stands out because she has this beautiful light blue cuss book on. And what stands out to me the most about her is that she's very shy, very humble, and so you don't think that she'd be a threat or she'd be like a beast to be dealt with, but she's very quiet and deadly, in my opinion. So she sticks out. And we have some guests here, and one of them happens to be Abigail's friend. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, I'm Daisy Van Blarkum. I'm on the Matsu team.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you. I actually interviewed you the first day. We have a video, and it's on our Facebook page. And Daisy, what grade are you in now?
I'm in 11th grade.
11th grade. How long have you been participating in Native Youth Olympics?
This is my 10th year.
10th year. So you have to have a lot of experience with all of these events. What events do you take part in?
At our regional meets, I do everything except wrist carry, and then whatever I place in, I get to go to state for.
And what have you placed in so far?
I placed first in the 2 foot high kick yesterday and 5th in the kneel jump earlier today.
Congratulations. That is absolutely incredible. You two were that really stood out to me just because you guys are on different teams, but you guys are very close, so I'm assuming you guys know each other from different years.
Yes.
That you've been here.
I met her, I think, 3 states ago, but then we both did Arctic Winter Games last year when we were on the same team.
Oh, excellent. Can you ask, can we know about your PRs?
I PR'd in all of my events this weekend so far. I finally hit 54 in one arm reach and landed it, and then I actually hit 56, but my chin touched the floor.
No one could see it, but I'm going to give you a high five. That is absolutely incredible. You are absolutely incredible, and this is you have one more year after this, and you've been taking part in Native Youth Olympics all these years. And what I love to ask people that come here is, what is your favorite thing about coming here? I mean, even with the events or anything else that stands out to you every time you come to Anchorage at the Alaska Airlines Center?
Something that stands out to me is how everybody is friends with everybody. There's no, they're the enemy and we're opponents, but not really. I mean, everybody's just trying to do what they do their best. And everybody's encouraging each other to do their best.
Excellent. So this is totally off topic, but yesterday during our one-hour session, we had a fun conversation about anti-earrings. We call it anti-earrings. Everyone walks around parading, and they're showcasing their best artwork. And I noticed some beautiful earrings dangling off your ears right now. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, my Auntie Clarissa made them. She lives in Dillingham.
They're dream catchers.
They are dream catchers.
You guys can't see it, but they're these beautiful, like, teal beads and black beads off of this dream catcher-looking earring with these gorgeous beads dangling down below. Those are absolutely beautiful. Does she sell these?
She does, yeah.
We're going to have to get that information after this.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, congrats on all your scores and everything. And I hope you have a great rest of NYO. And we also have another guest joining us. Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Roy Ugluin. I am the president and CEO for First Alaskans Institute. And so happy to be here today.
And also, there's a lot of stats about the games, Roy, that show how beneficial and positive it is for young people. And can you talk a little bit about the mission of First Alaskans Institute?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our primary goal is about self-determination. We're really focused on empowering our communities to make decisions and do what they need to do within Alaska and make sure that they have all the information they need to make those decisions.
And some of the statistics were showing that, you know, kids or students who participate in the games are more likely to stay in school. You know, we do see a lot of tough statistics when it comes to our young people in Alaska and across the country. So can you talk about why education is so important?
Oh, my God. I mean, how do you start with that? Because, you know, there's so much in each part of village life that is connected to our schools. And these young people, as you saw from, you know, interviewing the young lady recent, you know, just on a little while ago, it's amazing how connected they are with these games and how this part of the culture, which is all about collaboration and bringing everybody up together, really changes the way that you know, we educate our youth. You know, right now we're still struggling across the state in education and bringing our young people together, keeping them involved and getting them to be active participants in their young lives and in our communities is one thing that really keeps people engaged and moving forward.
And we also have another guest joining us this morning. Good morning, Greg. Please introduce yourself.
Good to be here. My name is Tangwana. I'm the son of Sophia Larena Tanwana from the native village of Wales, and I go by Gregory Nostein. Yeah.
And some of the statistics are saying that 80% say they stay in school because of NYO, and 60% of students say they it helps them with their grades and being able to participate in the games. And Gregory, tell us a little bit about how the games helped you in your schooling years.
Oh, gee, I think we had this conversation yesterday. All the same, I went to Mount Edgecombe High School, and if it wasn't for the Native Youth Olympics, I would have never graduated, to be honest.
And can you expand on that? Why is that?
I was really looking for a way to not go to school here in Anchorage, and yet I was directed to go there by my mother and one of her friends, and when I got there, I suffered from lots of internalized depression because I did not only like myself, I didn't like anybody that was Native like me. So being there at Mount Edgecombe High School really made me feel uncomfortable, and I wanted to move and get away from there as fast as I could, but you couldn't run away from Mount Edgecombe. It's on an island, of all things, and there's no roads to Sitka. So the Native Youth Olympics was the only way. If I could make the team, I could maybe go back to Anchorage and run away. I was really having a challenged childhood here in Anchorage, Alaska.
And, Roy, anything to add to that? There are, you know, part of our show the other day was talking about the games and how it incorporates Native culture and language and positivity. And we actually had a guest from Canada who was talking about that as well and just how young people are taking pride in being Indigenous today.
I have two cousins, young cousins, who are in the games today and several relatives here. You know, there's just no other way in Anchorage to really pass on our culture and to get all of these young people so well connected to each other. At the village level, you know, this really encourages people to come out of their shell. They get to come to Anchorage. They get to connect with each other. And you know, there's nothing like building a network of people that are on your side.
And one of our producers had a chance to go out and talk to some of the participants, coaches, athletes, spectators. Let's hear from George Allen, who is a principal at the Hooper Bay School. And he says that involvement in the NYU games and other traditional activities help his students stay engaged in school.
In Hooper Bay, they have real strong traditions, and they want to keep up with the tribal aspects of life, and so the kids are all real involved in any type of cultural. So we have a week in the fall and a week in the spring that's just for cultural activities. So they go moose hunting or fishing or make arts and crafts. So real good participation with that, and real good participation in the NYO games, too. Big draw to get kids in school. They love basketball, and they love the cultural dancing and the NYO. So, yes, it keeps them. Of course, they have to make good grades and all that. So, yeah, it keeps them engaged in academics also. You know, they're enjoying it. They're having fun. That's all that matters, right?
And also another person is a coach from the Lower Yukon School District, Kenneth Lee. He also says the games help students succeed academically and stay fit. For many of his athletes this year, this competition, the state competition, is new for them.
A lot of them are new to a state competition, so they're getting their first taste of how the whole state competitors are. A lot of it's eye-opening for them, and they're enjoying themselves. As long as they're here to have fun, learn, you know, participate, that's a good thing. And hopefully it'll encourage more others to come join more.
And another person, Jens and Joanna Hobson, are coaches from Utqiagvik, and they've been living in Anchorage for more than 15 years, and they moved back and they to their hometown and decided to create an NYO program to help athletes from villages across the region develop. Jens says that the games have been helping students gain confidence, and he has high hopes for his athletes in the region.
We have a bunch of potential up north. It's just a matter of getting the word out to all of the athletes, not only from Utqiagvik, but also all of the surrounding villages. And so we're excited for the team. It shows that they can come out of their comfort zone and they can compete at a higher level at a state event. It's fantastic to see the children get out of their little shells and actually sprout out and you can see the light starting to brighten up within the individual. And so our athletes are doing fantastic from the North Slope. We are at the brim of placing on the podium. We still have a lot of work to do. Like I said, we just got back a couple years ago. And so we're going to put the time and the effort in with our children. And next year we're going to come back stronger.
And Gregory, as an official, as somebody out there, just what were you thinking when you're hearing from some of these coaches from across the state?
What I was I was actually happy to hear what they were sharing with us, in the sense that the athletes themselves are getting an opportunity to experience some character building aspects that the games have an opportunity to provide them, and that is, sometimes it's really challenging to be able to coach your competitor to do better than you. And then doing so, a part of you goes with those who succeed, and you can say you took part in their success. And there's something about that that helps build character in everyone.
And Roy?
You know, this is a family. And, you know, this builds a lot of unity in our culture. We have so many opportunities to connect with each other and build that connection as a family. And this is so important to kind of stitch that very important relationship building dynamic for us.
And, you know, the games are not in, you know, all communities across the state. And Jill talked about that a little bit yesterday, too, as well. And so it was also good to hear how coaches, you know, were living in the Anchorage area and then moved back and started it at home. Jill?
Yeah, when we were discussing that, you know, we were even mentioning some people that have possibly been adopted and are from, you know, coming from a different state. And to me, the story always seems to be at the end that their spirit and something brings them back to here, and they embrace their culture and they take it on wholeheartedly. And they say that it's something that was missing from them their whole entire lives. And, you know, it just sort of speaks to how amazing history and culture goes, and, you know, talking and embracing your ancestors and what they bring. It's so much more than just the physical. It's what comes from within you. That's what I take away from it all the time. And, you know, when it comes to these events as well, you know, you're piggybacking off of what you guys were talking about earlier, too, you know, about them coaching and wanting someone else to be better, even if they're your competition. You know, you don't see that in any other sports, and we talk about that all the time. And just a little while ago, they were giving out awards and recognizing students and athletes for doing just that, you know, sort of picking kids out. And so you'll see the volunteers and the coaches, they're not just there, they're actually watching the kids interacting and recognizing it. And so I think that sends a message to the kids to, you know, that it pays off to be kind, it pays off to be helpful, and to just uplift one another. And it goes with you after school, I think.
Man, you know, there's so much pride that I have in being able to bring this part of my culture to people who don't know about it. So I was just in Washington State last week traveling, and I was showing off some of the events that we have in NYO, like the high kick, and people are amazed. I think that this has a tremendous cachet as far as teaching our values of collaboration and lifting everyone up and building this incredible history of survival that is based on a lot of the NYO games in our culture, and then teaching that to people who need hope, who are, you know, who don't live within our community, but they can build this incredible appreciation based on our values.
And Gregory, can you expand on that, on how the games, you know, encourage and represent Native values and culture?
I can only share from my perspective when I was in high school, and I turned 18 F's to going into honor roll and then graduating from high school. But the very first time I went and competed in the 1 foot high kick, I thought that was a really cool event. And there were so a few schools back in 1977, and I looked around and I was going, oh, there's four of us left. I'm the last one in line. If any one of these guys missed the ball, I'm going to get the medal. You know, that was my thought anyway. And I came from this attitude from the urban environment, the doggy dog, hope he misses, and I hope he misses. And then when it came to be my turn, this young lad, I missed the very first attempt. I think, I can't remember if it was a young lad from Gamble or Nome. He came up to me and he said, hey, Greg, if you point your toe, you'll kick the ball. You can do it. I gave him that WrestleMania look, like, get out of my face. Don't you know how many people are watching? And you know what? He was right. If I pointed my toe, I would have kicked the ball. And I took fourth place, of course, and I was really sad about that. And his coach, as we were all leaving the Old City Gym, he said, you know what that young lad was trying to do when he came to you and encouraged you to point your toe? And I shrugged my shoulders and said, no. He said, he was passing on a tradition handed down by our elders, and that was the spirit of cooperation. You see, when hunters went to go hunting, they shared the knowledge of where the resources were and the best ways to get them. And he was hoping for you what he was hoping for himself, and that was hunter success. We try to instill this in our games we play. And it went in one ear and out the other. I was just disappointed I didn't get a medal, but it made a lot more sense later. That, yeah, that coach was Reggie Jewell.
And I know that you talked a little bit and shared a little bit about Reggie Jewell. So for the listeners who are not familiar, can you share a little bit?
Reggie Jewell is a mentor of athletic prowess of the traditional games at the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. And he was one of the original, as far as I can tell, original individuals who hammered out the rules for the Native Youth Olympics, locking themselves in the hotel room until they were able to operationally define all the events and put them into a rule book.
That is absolutely, I didn't know that. And you were talking about the history of Native Youth Olympics, and we touch on that from time to time. And what I try to remember when we go live is to sort of speak as if not everyone knows what Native Youth Olympics are. Some of our listeners have never heard of Native Youth Olympics. So I try to go a little bit more into depth of what they do at every event and also the history behind it. You said you did the 1 foot high kick. And can you sort of explain and give us like a directions as if Reggie Jewell was doing the rule book of how you do that event and where that derived from?
Well, I can only share that for the listeners' sake, you know, person who's going to be doing this particular event has to jump off both feet, kick the ball with 1 foot, and then land on the foot they kick with. When I first learned how to do that, I did the kung fu scissor kick and thought that was good enough. And then one of my friends said, no, land on the foot you kick with. And I looked at him puzzled, and I said, no, that's stupid. and then I went and tried it, and I couldn't do it. And then someone who is non-Indigenous went up and kicked really high, and I was like, holy cow. But to your point, ironing these out, operationally defining them, the person has to maintain their balance once they successfully kick the ball. And the ball will move up 2 inches at a time, and everyone will get one turn, and they'll get 3 chances at each height to kick the ball.
And the winner is the one that gets the
highest kick.
Yes. So I was looking up the history of it and, you know, what our ancestors did. And they mentioned that it was to sort of celebrate a cat or a hunt.
Yes, I heard the same thing, and it makes sense that from long distances, when you have the wind blowing in your face and you try to yell, please come and help, or even wave your arms, it means different things. So you use the best body language you can, and from long distances, if you're kicking 1 foot in the air, it was said that there was a successful hunt, but it wasn't a whale. And if both feet went in the air, a whale was caught, and we need people to come and pull it up.
That is amazing. And one of the events that's going to be taking place soon is a favorite of many, the seal hop. And, of course, you know, that is an event that is it's exhausting just watching it. What you do is you sort of you go on your feet and your hands. The men are down to their knuckles, and so their elbows are sort of to their sides. Girls and women, they could keep their arms straight. And what you do is you literally hop, like sort of do like a caterpillar motion. You shuffle across the floor. And this started from the history of our ancestors when they were on the ice and sneaking up on a seal. And our producer, Emily Schwing, actually was in Greenland not too long ago and actually saw someone do it. And I was mentioning how incredible it looks. It looks just so graceful. And they do it so perfectly on the ice. And so watching the kids like this, it's just a really cool thing to witness. And in my heart, I believe, you know, I mean, we don't use these muscles all the time. And these kids, they have unique muscles that none of us use on an everyday basis. So it's like they're keeping the muscles of our ancestors alive.
Well, Jill, did you do this seal hop when you were in school?
I did. Yeah, I did. I wasn't the best at it. And my defense was that I'm so tall, so there's a lot of space between my hands and my feet, so there's more weight. So I like sort of bowed a little bit, but I still did it. It was a lot of fun.
And Roy, you had said there are some people you're here to watch compete today as well. Can you? You may have mentioned, but what are they participating in?
I think they're participating in all the different events. My cousins, Ryan and Ethan Oliver, are out there, and I saw their mom walking across the floor, and they're originally from Golovin, or their family's from Golovin. And so, you know, I'm just so proud of them, and I've really seen them grow and progress while they've been involved in Native Youth Olympics, and I've seen their connection to their culture and to other kids who are Native and other parents, families who are Native, really be sort of turned into a foundation for them here in Anchorage.
And another thing about the games is it's open to all students. Non-natives can also participate. And that brings a little bit of, you know, understanding each other. We know that there are some very real problems still today, yeah, including racism. Roy, can you share a little bit about why that's important?
Well, this is, when we're talking about equity, this is the place to find it, right? You have girls and boys both competing, and they're doing amazing things here. We don't always see that in the real world. And in the real world in Anchorage, oftentimes you're confronted with so many different barriers around race and gender. And here, this platform teaches our children that this is the standard. This is what we want to live for and be at.
And Gregory?
Question again?
Yeah, just about how, all students can come and participate, including non-natives, and just, you know, that there are a lot of real issues today, including racism that young people face.
Well, all I know is that from the perspective of when it was originally held and we had boarding school students here at the Jesse Lee home, they wanted to... They were enjoying basketball and baseball and maybe even football and soccer for that matter. But they also said for those who couldn't go to home for Christmas vacation, they wanted to be able to share some of the games that they were playing. And some folks were actually curious about those games that they were playing during Christmas. And that was the one foot, the seal hop, the head pull, and those particular events. I remember the head pull and the leg wrestling was also taking place. And right now, I can say I'm so proud of I have two grandnephews that are participating in here, and a grandniece, and I have cousins who are also officials. All I'm saying is that this is so much fun that it's almost a family affair, and it is a family all together. We're happening.
Yesterday, one of our topics, actually the main theme of our topic yesterday during our hour-long show was women in Native Youth Olympics, you know, indigenous women, but women as well. Whenever you were in high school, compared to today, have you seen the involvement of girls and women in Native Youth Olympics grow, and how do you feel about seeing it change over the years?
Good question. I remember in the 80s, the women also wanted to be part of the knuckle hop and the airplane. And of course, these particular strength events were something that women were starting to be very good at. And they wanted to show their prowess and say, we have strength. We can do this too. And it's been a growing phenomenon.
I believe so too. That seems to be every single year, not just women, you know, but men also giving them the courage, encouragement, and the push, you know, also to do better every single year and pushing the envelope. And it seems like every single year, women just seem to keep getting further and further, not just in Native Youth Olympics, but, you know, all over the world. Like I mentioned, we almost had a woman president. Maybe I have to go for that one of these days. But I think girl power is definitely, it's on top right now.
Go ahead, Roy. You were shaking your head.
Yeah, you know, women are leading most of our organizations right now, and they do this without a tremendous amount of support. And bringing our young women into a leadership framework where they're getting support, they're getting leadership lessons, and they're learning how to make this incredible contribution that our women leaders are making across the state right now. It's just so critical. And this is where it starts. This is the foundation.
And it's, you know, just not in Alaska, but across the country. And, yeah, you know, we have people. We had Secretary Deb Holland, who was former Interior
Amazing.
Secretary. She's now running for governor of the state of New Mexico. We have some Native American, members in Congress. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely the leadership roles.
And this year we have more Native people in the Alaska legislature and many women. You know, the lawmakers from Fairbanks and Kotzebue and Utqiagvik. I mean, it's incredible. It's amazing to see how strong our women are. And, you know, women in our culture are expected to lead. They're expected to run for office. They're expected to, at the same time, have a family and take care of their household.
Well, you are listening to Alaska's Native Voice from the Alaska Airlines Center. We got to take a short break. We'll be right back. And welcome back. You're listening to Alaska's Native Voice. We are at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the final day of the 2025 Native Youth Olympic Games. And I have some great guests joining me today, and also KMBA news producer Jill Freitas. And Jill, right before the break, we were talking about the role of women and the importance of women. And you had some thoughts about that.
I did. And you know, what we were talking about, and Roy had mentioned, this community event, and whenever it comes to people treating how they treat everyone, it sort of sets the standard. And it sort of brought me to another question that I had, and sort of like a, you know, wondering what your guys' thoughts were on it. You know, of course, whenever it comes to statistics, Indigenous women, you know, Alaska Native women and Native American women, or, you know, when it comes to missing and murdered Indigenous people, the crime rate, I believe it was 30% more than anyone else in the country when it comes to murders and kidnapping and things like that. And, you know, talking about setting an example for the children. And I love the fact that Native Youth Olympics, and they make it well known every single day that this is an alcohol and drug-free event. And, you know, talking about setting the standards, how do you feel that this could sort of set the way for not just girls, but boys alike for the future and set them up for success? How do you feel on that, Roy?
Oh, man, this is the event where people learn not just to be people, but how to be, how to make a contribution, because they're making contributions to one another. You know, when we're talking about philanthropy, this is where it starts. This is where the concept of giving back and connecting with one another and making sure that we're all okay starts. And, you know, I talked a little bit earlier about the fact that women leaders are, there's so much expectation on, for our women in our communities, and at the same time, there's a lot of expectation for our men. So creating a place where people can build this incredible strength that they have as people, as leaders, as people who make a contribution, who can connect well with one another and build relationships, that's foundational and so critical to the continuation of our culture and our values.
How do you feel about that, Gregory?
Well, as one who's been raised by women and surrounded by women all my life, I've always seen women in leadership roles. And here in the Native Youth Olympics, when you see opportunities for germinating the leadership among women, it's very fertile right here. And it's an opportunity for folks to really come out of their shell. I mean, with some person that used to be shy, like myself.
When no.
When Reggie Jewell was out there kicking and I was mentoring under him, and I could see where he might need a little bit of support or critique on his form when he was kicking at one particular time, I was too shy to approach him because there were so many people watching. And after he missed and it was all said and done, I went over to him and told him, if you just did this, it looked like you might have been able to successfully kick the ball. And he turned to me, and I'm embarrassed to say it. He said, you didn't respect me enough to tell me when I was kicking? Oh, I felt so small. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, in opportunities like this, we provide our students, our youth, an opportunity to do their very best among themselves. And we try to encourage and germinate the idea that it's okay to feel shy, but if you will be willing to coach your competitor, even if it's just somebody on your team, help them do better than you, you'll see the benefits of doing just that.
And Gregory, Jill had mentioned how it is a, you know, promoting alcohol-free and drug-free event. Can you touch on the sobriety and the impacts of that?
Well, in another life, I used to be the coordinator for the Alaska Federation of Native Sobriety Movement, and I did have the pleasure of traveling to 40 communities using the Blangatos as a metaphor for community building and creating safe environments where we all have a role in doing just that, and so that none of our youth fall through the cracks in our community. And we all have to be role models, and being strong role models and living healthy lifestyles, we can tell the youth till we're blue in the face, don't do what I do, but they will emulate our behavior and our actions, and they will follow us regardless of what we say. And so when we have an environment such as this to promote
not drinking, not vaping, not smoking. You know, they see that, and they will emulate it. Come to pass, we'll have a healthier community as a result.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, as we're talking about women and the roles and everything, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is advice. And we have some great aunties everywhere in Alaska and across Indian country in the lower 48. And so one of the things we had been doing is our producers, including producer Emily Schwing, is asking for the best auntie advice. So we want to share some from Nicole, who is Nicole Johnson, who's the head official and a woman. So let's hear what her big auntie advice is.
One of the things that we also kind of have a joke about, but has become a real thing for us as Antonia and I have worked together, is big auntie energy.
Oh, yeah. Lots of auntie energy.
And so I want to ask you if you, like, kind of put your big auntie energy hat on, what is the advice that you have for girls in particular as a big auntie?
We're I don't know if I can.
Get ready here.
Don't ever let anybody tell you can't. Never.
So
tell anybody. Never let anybody ever tell you that you can't do it. No matter what you're wanting to do. Yeah. That's it.
All right. Athletes. And your native name, Ikituk?
Ikituk.
Ikituk. So you heard it here first from Big Auntie Ikituk. I really appreciate it. Koyanak.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was great.
That's the first auntie question I've ever had.
Oh.
I love it. I love it because we talk about being aunties to some of the younger officials and whatnot here.
And Emily also spoke with this year's MC, Caroline Wiseman, and she is doing a great job emceeing in the past. Other games we've had, Marjorie Taubone. So let's hear what Caroline's big auntie advice is.
Are you an auntie?
I am an auntie.
Okay, I want to ask you from a place of big auntie energy, what advice you have for younger women as an auntie,
with my big auntie energy, I would tell our young women to find what they love and to follow through with it and stand up and advocate for themselves to know that they can, to know that if they want to work towards beating a record and they have the fortitude to do it, they can do it. And they just got to put in that effort and keep going. There are going to be people that tell you no or you can't or being in specific roles. But you have to be comfortable in who you are. So.
Caroline, Kwanakpuk, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, you too. Kwanakpuk.
And producer Emily Schwing has been going around NYO getting the big auntie energy. Let's hear a couple more pieces of advice, and then we'll go to our guests and hear what they think about the auntie energy they're hearing on the radio this morning.
Are you an auntie, by chance?
Of course I am.
Do you have big auntie energy?
Oh, Adam, what do the earrings say?
This is why I picked you for this interview, actually. So, like, for listeners who will hear, you have this beautiful beaded barrette in your hair, and then you have these caribou tufted earrings, and they're shaped like daisies. And is that ivory?
Yes.
They're beautiful.
Thank you. The hair barrette was beaded by my Anna, my grandmother. As a birthday gift.
And your earrings?
My earrings are my Mother's Day gift from my children this year. I actually just purchased them this morning, but I could not put them on.
No, you definitely couldn't not wear those. So with your big auntie energy in mind, what advice do you have for women and girls that are coming up, like behind you?
Go for it, ladies. Yep.
Yeah. Women, Alaska Native women have a lot of very real struggles that they experience. What advice do you have as an auntie for how to, like, live with that struggle and sort of move beyond it?
definitely reach out to your loved ones, your community. You know, talk to somebody. If you need to talk to somebody, reach out for your loved ones, your community. For sure.
Awesome.
We're here for you.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. Kwayana.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. Kwayanak Puck. And I really love your earrings.
Thank you.
That's a theme of us, the earrings. But thank you to Emily Schwing for talking to Goldie Westlake and getting some input. I'll just go down the line. Gregory, what did you think of what the Big Anti Energy, what they were sharing?
It's all true. It's all true.
And Roy?
Well, you know, we can't succeed without everyone participating and making the kind of contributions they make within our community, both aunties and uncles. And I feel, you know, so grateful that the aunties have been able, over the last several decades, to come forward and lead and build a framework for how to live lives of meaning and contribution in our community. I think that's a page that our men, that we all can take out of that book. And in order for us, our communities, to live and be successful and prosper, all of us have to have that energy.
And Jill?
I'd probably have to say, you know, I mean, when you walk around, you look, you see these aunties, and it's a whole attitude. It's like something, it's just the way that they carry themselves, the way that they walk. And I always wondered, at one point, when do they graduate to auntie status? I realize it's the second they get those earrings on. It's the earrings, I swear.
And what are some of the advice that you've received from, you know, whether it's a relative that's an auntie or even just friends?
Women, they keep balance to everything. They give you the nurturing. They have that feminine energy around you that's very comforting. But at the same time, they could, in the snap of a finger, be very stern. They know how to keep balance in a household. And not just a household, but also here, you'll see a lot of these volunteers, the MC. They're the ones that keep everything, in my opinion, you know, going strong. So I think it's just about the balance. And, you know, in my personal auntie opinion, I think that there's nothing that a little fry bread won't fix, you know, like some just coming together and being, you know, one another and helping lift each other up, I think, is my auntie opinion.
And reflecting back on the games and what's going on here this, you know, for the last 3 days of the Native Youth Olympic Games, we always like to celebrate the students and the positivity, but also looking ahead into the future. Gregory, what are your hopes for the games?
My hope for the games is that they will continue way past me. I mean, obviously, we're well on track with those that are participating now, and to see the young officials coming up and sharing with the youth how to correctly officiate the games in a way that's not only fair, but fun. And to make it not so personal, but allow them to grow. I mean, some athletes, they want to do so well, and they have such high expectations for themselves. And when they do miss, and when they don't do as well as they hoped, convey that attitude of good going. Glad you even got here at this level, and continue practicing. See you at the World Disability Olympics.
And, you know, some people are born into this. We know Nicole and her daughter. I think somebody was in, you know, was at the games before they were even born. And that's probably for a lot of these people. And then they go on and they become volunteers. They become coaches. They become officials because, you know, it's just become part of what their family traditions are. Gregory, can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, when you are born into this, in the sense that you have relatives that are already involved in it, and then you watch them from a distance stay involved in it, it gives some social permission to go ahead and do it as well. And I think I speak for myself because I've got several relatives down there now competing, and to see them blossom, to see their attitudes and their confidence build, and to see them have so much fun and create camaraderie with folks that they've never met before from across the state, that kind of camaraderie is really nice to see. And they're going to carry it with them for the rest of their lives.
And Roy, not only just the games, but for Native youth in general, looking at their future, what are your hopes for the Native youth here at Native Youth Olympics and across the state?
I would love to see this become an Olympic sport. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, these are values and philosophies that are embedded in our culture that the rest of the world can use. It would be a much better world if we were based on cooperation and collaboration and family, if we saw each other as family.
And another thing that was mentioned during the week is that how, you know, young people aren't on their phones. We know, I mean, I'm addicted to my phone, probably just like everybody else. But part of this is they are here even when, you know, the coaches are busy having a meeting. The young people are still playing games, unofficial games, but they're still, you know, they're not glued to their phones. So I think that also says something about the importance of this. And, you know, growing up, I didn't grow up with a phone. And so, Roy, just your thoughts on that.
you know, our generation, Antonia, is like having a phone is like having your office with you all the time. So, you know, it's great to see young people, like some of the young people that I know who are born into this, actually putting some boundaries on it. And I think events like this help them to recognize how important it is to have face-to-face conversation, to have in-person relationships and connections.
And Gregory?
Yes, the connections. I want to speak to that point about the goal or the hope for seeing these one of these games go into the World Olympics. I remember back in 84, we went to Los Angeles and visited the three Olympic villages. It took forever to get into them, but we were able to demonstrate that the one-foot, two-foot high kick, the Wainwright dancers were there, and we... And to watch some of the athletes, I remember the high kicker, or even the high jumper, was even there trying some of these games. I got to admit, I live a blessed life in the sense that I was able to attend some of that and to witness it. But to your point, I hope the 1 foot and the 2 foot high kick someday make it into the World Olympics. And I think Kyle Wuerl, who you perhaps have already spoke to, has been working diligently in some regard to assisting that to even take place, eh?
I think the Olympics are going to be taking place in, what was it, California in a couple years? Wouldn't that be so cool if we were to get a hold of them beforehand and, you know, even just to have a little preview of it, be like, hey, like, look what we got here. I think this would be really great for the future. And when talking about, you know, you were talking about the phones, you know, and working with these kids, to me, it sort of made me wonder if there was any way we could sort of do a survey or like a little thing, a graph to see the kids' screen time, you know, before Native Youth Olympics and, you know, after Native Youth Olympics to see how much that they've been able to take a break from their phones. And at the beginning, Antonia had mentioned how well the kids do in school. While being in Native Youth Olympics, you also have to uphold a certain grade at point average to be able to be eligible to participate in it. It gives you that drive, like a lot of sports do, and I think that's absolutely amazing. How do you feel about that, Antonia?
Yeah, I think something you had shared before, Jill, was just being an athlete yourself and just having to do that and, you know, having my kids of my own who were big into sports is that they have to keep that drive.
Yes.
And they have to not only do good in school or do good in sports, they also have to do good in school. And NYO also, you know, they give out scholarships. So the students who are, you know, proving and showing that they are doing good in school, we saw the presentation. And also the graduates. Jill, you had talked to some people who this was their last games. And were they sad about it or were they...
It was a little bittersweet. It was sort of mixed because more than one of them mentioned, you know, even though I'm graduating this year, I'm not done with Native Youth Olympics. I'm still going to take part in it. There's still WEO, you know, the World Eskimo Olympics. You know, we have the volunteers down there on the floor. They become coaches. So they're a little sad that they're not going to be the actual athletes in these events, but they'll be back. You just sort of change as it goes, as through the years go. We'll see them back here in the coming years. Maybe we'll interview them next year.
Yeah, well, I'm always a huge supporter of journalism and getting more Native students into journalism to be telling our stories. And, you know, they're already storytellers. They already are posting videos. They're already, you know, doing social media. And Jill was part of that as well, out there, you know, talking to people and posting on social media. And what was some of the responses you've received about that?
Oh, some of the responses. And it's, you know, we hate to sound like broken records, but if you keep saying it, it has to be true, is the camaraderie and the unity that you get when you come in here. There's this energy that just becomes its own person, you know, that walks around in the room, and it's something that you have to experience by being here. We could talk about it till the sun goes down, you know, about how it feels, but it's something you have to actually experience when you're here. So that's what they talk about a lot. I actually interviewed two elders yesterday. Let's see, what was her name? Anne Lawrence. Yes. And I forgot her last name was Hess. They were so much fun, though. And they came here to support they supported their kids, and now they're supporting their grandkids. Anne Lawrence actually is the one, if you around here, she has a muckluck. And she goes around and she gets donations from people. And what she does is she gives it back to the kids for certain activities and things like that. It was absolutely incredible. And yeah, just talking with all of these people, a majority of the time they just bring up what a wonderful experience it is to be here, the excitement that you have. Every once in a while you'll hear the bird calls. Don't make me do it, Emily. Don't make me do it today.
the birds or the seal call?
The seal call.
Oh, okay.
Do you know how to do that?
Not very well.
Oh, my gosh. Or every once in a while, you'll hear the clap, clap, clap. You know that someone's about to either break a record. It gets so excited. Yeah. You get pumped up when you're here.
And, you know, the games will continue after today. A lot of these, some of these schools, you know, they practice year-round. Gregory, can you talk a little bit about the importance of, you know, staying fit, but also just the practicing year-round?
Well, I'll tell you this much. There are many different communities having open invitationals in Homer and Dillingham and Barrow and Fairbanks and Juneau. The one in Juneau that Kyle Wuerl is starting to hold, he brings in college students from Indian colleges, tribal colleges. We've had campuses represented from Haskell, from Dartmouth, from Fort Lewis, and I think from the Lummi Nation at one time. But for those that say that they're not indigenous, they're not done with NYO, they get to go play in these games over in Juneau, first weekend in Juneau, no plug.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad you had mentioned that, you know, Kyle Wuerl has been down to, like you mentioned, the Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, Kansas, and the Santa Fe Indian School in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and also just the revitalization of, I've interviewed one of the coaches from Southeast Alaska and talking about how it was just revitalizing her to learn more about her native culture, so just the importance of that as well. And Jill?
Yeah, well, we only have about like 5 more minutes until we're done here. But I just want to know from both of you, the last day of every year, you know, what is something that you look back on in all 3 days that you sort of take home with you at the end of every year that you sort of appreciate and you sort of notice that sort of changes with the times as you get older and continue to take part in NYO?
Boy, as you get older and you kind of reach that grandparent status, which, you know, I talk about myself as an uncle, you just have this sense of pride for our young people and the fact that they're here and they're showing up, they're connecting, they're learning so many skills. And I'm also really proud of our adults. You know, Nicole is from my village, from White Mountain. She's probably related to me. But, you know, it's seeing those people who support the games, who do it year after year and have this tremendous dedication. I'm so proud of it. I come away every year with so much pride for our people.
The way you talk about it so passionately, I just have to say, I could listen to you talk probably for hours. And you too, Gregory. How do you feel, Gregory, about the last day?
I'll just let you know that the Native Youth Olympics was very special in my life. And I see the connection that these youth are making. If there's one thing I know about the human condition is that feeling is healing. And it's real safe to be vulnerable in some of these positions when an athlete is doing their very best. And you actually see the passion they have for trying to do their very best. And they get the support from their competitors. It just, something inside them gets alive and their eyes brighten up. I like to see that connection they make with each other. I had it, and I was, like, quite surprised. I was like, this is nothing like the dog-eat-dog world that I was in and I felt so intimidated about.
And, you know, as we see the games continue to grow this year, officials told us that this was one of the largest games since COVID, and also just the record number of girls competing, as well as Nicole was telling us about. It's sometimes some games are about even with the boys. You know, like Jill said, we only have a couple minutes left. But Gregory, does that show that this is successful revitalization of the games?
Oh, I would absolutely believe so. Statistics have a way of proving what we need to know about this. And if the girls are becoming more involved, more power to that idea.
And go ahead, Roy.
Oh, man. You know, I think that the games are going to continue to grow. I'm amazed at how many people are in the audience right now. I mean, this seems fuller than past years and fuller than I expected. And I want everyone in my family to be here, because the good energy and the hope and the sense of contribution is just real.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here today, and also Jill for her coverage of the games. Jill, what are you looking forward to covering for the rest of the day?
As I mentioned before, we still have the seal hop to go and also the 1 foot high kick. I'm really excited about that. I think people sort of flock to the floors to see that. I'm just excited to see the support again and continue to see the support the kids have for one another, uplifting each other. And hopefully we'll see another record breaker. You never know.
Yeah, it is exciting. And also when, you know, the students are out there cheering on, I think that's one of the exciting things is just to hear, you know, all the cheering when students are excited about, you know, who's breaking records or even who the winners are. And all of our coverage can be found either on our social media sites or online at KMBA.org. And I want to thank again our guests and all the guests we had this week, our producer, Emily Schwing, and the help that we've had, and Elena Nyden, who has been providing coverage as well, and her stories can be found on KMBA. And, well, there's another year down of the Native Youth Olympic Games here at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage. You've been listening to Alaska's Native Voice.
Alaska's Native Voice, live at NYO, produced by KMBA News and Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation.